is the day which the Lord has made. We will We'll probably do it twice next week as we have visitors may not be familiar. We'll give them a chance to participate. So let's get ready for that. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will Man, I love it. This sound was very loud for the number of people over there. Oh, there you go. Thank you. Heard some strongness over here, and the center pulled it in for nice harmony and tunes. That was great. Verse 24 is where that comes from in Psalm 118. It says, this is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And then right after that, save now, I pray, O Lord. And I want us to look at Palm Sunday, and you may think, Diane, we didn't get a chance to wave these around. Guys, we're going to close with a song, and we're going to give you guys opportunity to praise God and wave these things around a little bit if you want to, if the Spirit so moves you. I'm praying the Spirit's going to move you to wave these things around. It'll be a cool sight to see anyway. So let's do that after service, or as we close service with our singing. Just have those things ready with you, okay? It'll be a powerful song, and give us a chance to do that. Save now, these words are repeated in Matthew chapter 21. And I want to read the story of Jesus preparing to go into Jerusalem. And it's his triumphant entry back into Jerusalem. He knows what's ahead of him. But let's read verse 1. And it says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, and I want you to listen carefully, go into the village opposite you and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. Sometimes you wish you had that power. Adam needs those. And, you know, no. But this says, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. But again, that's the authority. We talked Wednesday night about Jesus' authority when he went into the temple, when he went into town, and he said these things. And it's a powerful, powerful thing that went with him. You meet people in life sometimes, and you look at them, and you say, you've just got an aura about you, something about you. There's a light around you. Jesus had a little bit more than an aura around him. He had authority, but he did have that aura around him. But he had God's authority that he moved about and talked with. And it says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Now, how many of us, as we're taking off our coats, would say, oh man, this costs whatever, a lot or a little, but man, let me just lay it down there for you. Or let me cut these branches down. And why are they putting that down there? Let me just lay those on the road for you, Jesus. But that's what they did. Multitude, a great multitude. Then the multitudes went out before them, and those who followed, and they cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now think about that for a minute. A very great multitude followed him. They were outside the city. They were following him. And then he stopped at some point. When he stopped, they went before him. They laid their coats and they laid down the palm branches. Then as he went into the city, this is what they're crying out. Hosanna! Which means save now. There's other translations a little bit, but very similar. Save now. They knew who he was, which is why they followed him. But when he walked into the, or when he rode into the city, what did it say? When he'd come in, all the city was moved. They were moved by what they had seen, this person coming in. And they asked the question simply, who is this guy? I'm moved by the presence this guy has when he goes past people and they're throwing down their coats and the palm branches. Who is this guy? This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. As we read Wednesday night, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And we looked at that Wednesday night, and it was mentioned that, hey, these people had to come for their atonement once a year, bringing what? Sacrifices. And they had to present those. And they came with different types of money, and they had the money changers there. The money changers, in order for these people to do that and have their sins atoned, had to exchange money and pay money. And people were making their livelihood of making money off them. It was suggested, is it possible he turned over those tables because they were no longer necessary now that Jesus had come? You've got to come up to this table. You have to exchange your money here so you can take your sacrifice so that your sins can be forgiven. Eric, can I ask you to bring me a bottle of water before I choke to death up here? Sorry. Thank you. And that table Jesus turned over. And I'm thinking, you don't need that table anymore, because you have direct access to me. We talked about the veil in the temple up there. And it was torn. Why was it torn? Because no one needed to go behind that veil any longer. We have direct access. We sang about that today. In that week's time, the events that happened, we now have direct access to the one who forgives us of our sins. And our only sacrifice is to submit to him. I'm thinking, what a powerful thing. It didn't say he went in and killed everyone. He flipped over those few tables. Servant of God, thank you. I appreciate that so much. Pardon me just a moment. All right, I may make it through now. Yeah. Wait, did you think I was ending? Uh-oh. They may have been clapping, thinking, He's done. So as we go on through Matthew, it says, save now. He drove these people out of the temple. And then it says he immediately went out. And what did he do to people? Healed them. He healed them. It says, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. People could see that. They could witness that happening right in front of them. Kisha brought up a good point. Verse 17 says, then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. She said, I think it's important to note that he went to be with his friends. And he spent time with them. In the midst of everything going on, in the midst of everything that was getting ready to happen. And then he came and said, I'm going to spend time. I'm not too busy to go here and lodge with my friends. Now, in verse 2, I want us to go back. I said, listen very carefully. In verse 2, said, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey, what? Tied, confined, restricted, bound up, and a colt with her. And then what did he say? Do this to them. Loose them and bring them to me. I don't think it's a far stretch to think that Jesus told his disciples what to do. You're going to go find these bound, and you are going to loose them for me. The Lord has need of them, and immediately the owner will send them. Is it fair to say Jesus also came to us? We're bound in our shackles of our sin. we're confined, we're restricted, we're tied up. And He came to free us. And He came to loose us. Why? The Lord has need of you and I. He has need of us. We have to be free in order to be used fully in His kingdom. Amen? We cannot be used bound up. We have some various injuries in the church for different things. And it's hard. Be it our shoulders or our hands. We cannot be fully used with those injuries. And with those restrictions. He came so that He could free us from sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. You know, I love our teenagers back here. They're lowly and casually just waving those branches around, hitting each other with them, trying to do it. Grace Armin, if you guys could just sit up a little higher so they can be blocked fully, that I won't see them doing that. By the way, I love our teenagers. Several of them came out to help us yesterday on our work day. Some were at the Ground Zero meeting with Andrew and Chelsea. So I appreciate you guys doing those things and what you guys do. God wants to use us, and He wants us to be free to be fully used. Now, as we go through this, Jesus had freed that. He rode. It says they sat Him on the donkey and the colt. And came in. And we talked Wednesday night. And said people worshipped Him. They were giving praise to Him. We're going to come back to all this stuff that we're talking about at the end of the message today. But in our sinful nature, we came into this world bound up already. We have need of a Savior. It may take us a while to figure that out. We may have come to know Jesus. And then thought, I got this, I don't need you, and walked away. There will be a point in time that we say, I don't know what this is about, but I need Him. I don't know what that means for me, but I need Him. I don't know how, and I don't know why. I may be a nice person overall, but somehow I know I need Him. I'm drawn to Him. And hopefully, people will look around and say, and I'm drawn to His people also. I talked to a young man the other day, invited him to church. And he said, well, I'm not very religious. I said, thank God Jesus hated religious people. He didn't care for them. Man, come on in. I don't really believe in God. Oh, that's great. Come on in. By the way, if you come on Easter, we have food. I did tell him we don't have it every week, just Easter, but invited him anyway. But I thought Jesus did not like the religious folks. They got all caught up in other things, if you will. They got caught up in rituals. And we have some things that we do, the Lord's Supper. And He said, do this as an example. And I want to remind you, this Wednesday night, if you can make it to Bible study, we're going to have a special Bible study that night. We're going to take communion during that Bible study, but it'll be a very special event. A very special communion that we do and how we observe it this Wednesday. And then Thursday night is our Maundy Thursday foot washing service. Guys, we're not required to do that. That's not why we do that. We do that as an example to see what Jesus went to. If your pastors are washing your feet, as lowly as we are, imagine Jesus Christ, the Savior, washing the feet of His disciples. If you can come Thursday night, it'll be a great evening. It is my favorite event of the entire year. Second is candlelight service, and that used to be my first. But this foot washing event, for me personally, is such a powerful time. In such a connection with me in Jesus and what he was doing and what he went through. And I can't even get close to what he did to serve his disciples. I think it's easy to see sometimes when we think, are you doing rituals? No, we're doing events, but we're doing those as examples. Ash Wednesday, we're not required to do that. That's not why we observe Ash Wednesday in this church. We do that. Number one is an exercise to show what other people observe. Just a different way for us to observe that in the flesh as well. We're not required to wave any branches around or hit anyone with these branches. I see you guys. Okay, we're not required to do that. We just like to do that. See what it was like. I don't have to throw my coat on the ground. Could you imagine all these people doing this? Why? So a donkey could walk on it. And they're throwing their garments down. Imagine what that was like. Now, over the next couple days, I want us to think what Jesus faced, what he encountered. Jesus began his healing immediately after he had cleansed the temple. And as we flip over the next couple pages, there's many things going on. Jesus, he comes to the Last Supper with his disciples. He's speaking in parables. He predicts Peter's denial that we talked about Wednesday night as well. He prays in the garden. He's betrayed. He's arrested. He's hauled off. He's beaten. He's taken to face Pontius Pilate. He said, I don't want any part of that. Send him on. He goes over here to face his charges. They said, no, that's not mine. Go back to Pontius Pilate. Send him back to him. He says, I don't want any part of this. But then Jesus Christ was exchanged for Barabbas. Barabbas was a what? A murderer. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was exchanged for a murderer. Think about that for a minute. We read that, we know the story, but if you think about that, you're thinking, oh my gosh, the Savior of the world. And we let this murderer go, but this guy that's healing people is who we decided, let's take him and stick him on a cross, and let's crucify him. Mind you, the crowd is hollering at, crucify him, crucify him. For those of you asleep, I apologize. And they did that. They beat him. They made him carry his cross when he could no longer. They said, you pick up his cross and carry it. You want to pick up your cross daily and carry it and follow him? Pick that thing up and drag it around here a few times. It's solid. Trust me, it's solid. I know. There's no wheel on the back end of that. Thank you, Lord. There's no wheel on the back of that thing that it rolls with you. You just pick it up and try and even keep it off the ground. It's heavy. They crucified him. He died. He was taken down off there. He was prepared. And his body placed in a tomb. Now this is all within a couple days of him having that great entry into Jerusalem. Remember where the people were worshiping him. Singing Hosanna. What does Hosanna mean? Save, thank you. Save now. Save now. That's what they're hollering at him. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the highest. Jesus, if you have time, save us. No, they're pleading with him. They're crying out to him. He is the only one that can do that, and they know that. And then he goes into a place and they said, who is this guy? Think about that. As we go places and we're telling people what a great life we have, what a great week we have, our family, our job, whatever it is. Give God the credit for that. They may not know anything about them. Find little windows of opportunity to tell them who that God is. Well, let me tell you, this is what I believe. Church, remember, God gives, and God what? Takes away. And He does it in His will. I plan a good portion of my week. I make plans to make sure I don't plan everything out because the unexpected happens all through the day in my work. I plan a little free time, and it's very little free time. But I got to tell you, I don't think I could ever plan for what Jesus knew was coming. And you got to think, He's going through His week saying, I've got to do this. I've got to go here. I've got to present this. I've got to hang out with the disciples and have a Last Supper with them. And I know what's coming after that. All right, God, let's get started. I said a while back, we look for testimony in the healing. Testimony is in our living. It's in the life we live. Think about this next week. And I want to flip over to Luke chapter 22. And I want to make a little comparison. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. I don't want to make a comparison. I'm sorry. I want to read another thing that this is the only place it's found in the Bible. And Jesus, again, He knew what He was going to have to face. And we've got this great triumphant entry. We've got Him healing. We've got Him teaching and preaching and speaking parables. And then we have all the other things that come after that that are going to happen this week. And I like to point them out. Because if not, we have a great triumphant entry on Palm Sunday. And we have Resurrection Sunday. And we don't fully understand the awful things that happened to Jesus during the week. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. And it says, coming out, He went to the Mount of Olives, as He was accustomed, and His disciples also followed Him. When He came to the place, He said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. If Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is warning His followers, His 12, pray. Pray. Why? That you may not enter in temptation. Do you not think it's valuable and worthy for us to pray for the same thing? Our Father who art in heaven, lead us not into temptation. Well, I go to church all the time. I'm surrounded by godly people. There's no good grief. The disciples are hanging out with Jesus Christ Himself. Pray, gentlemen. Why? So that you may not enter into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is Your will, Father, if it's Your will, take this cup away from me. I know some of you have prayed that. God, if it's Your will, please do not make me go through this. If it's Your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. Did we follow up our prayers with the same thing? God, please don't make me go through this. However, let it be Your will and not mine. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He's in pain right now, and he's praying even more. And all I think about, again, is my favorite blind guy, Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, that's Jesus you're talking to. Shush. He cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, bring him to me. Ooh, be of good cheer. He's calling you. he cried out even more. Jesus, being in agony, prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. Found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray again, lest you enter into temptation." Verse 42, "Nevertheless, your will, not mine." Verse 44, when he was in agony, what did he do? Prayed more earnestly. We said we want to be a church that prays more intentionally this year. I believe we need to pray more earnestly as well as we face the things that come against us. Trust me, when we're making progress as a church body, as a youth group, whatever it is, that enemy is there. When you think, hey, we're in a good place, that enemy is there. Those challenges are there. And they're there to test our faith. Jesus noticed two things when he met people. And he was impressed with both. Their faith and their lack of faith. And that's when he talked to people and he met them. That's what he was looking for. So I've got a challenge for you guys this week. No one's writing. No, you don't have to write. There's many things. I have a challenge for you this week. I want you to focus on him throughout the week. I want you to focus on Jesus Christ. I want you to focus on this week, everything that he went through. And I want you to think about these things. Where do we fit in this week's story for Jesus Christ? Did you have faith or did you lack it? Did you waver in some spots? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, I have faith in these areas, but this area I'm struggling in. Did you find yourself tied this next week and bound up? Or did you find yourself loosed and freed up? Did you acknowledge him? Remember, he was denied by Peter 3 times. Did you acknowledge him throughout the week or did you deny him? Plain and simply, did you sing praises to him? Were you hollering out, "Hosanna"? Or at some point in the week, did you say, "Crucify him"? I sang Hosanna on Sunday, crucify him today. He's no good to me. Did you follow his will or your will throughout the week? Did you find defeat in death? Now listen carefully. Did you find defeat in death? Or did you find victory in an empty grave when you went to look? And I want you to think about the challenges that you have this week. I want you to think about the challenges Jesus faced, knowing what he was up against. Let's stand to our feet as we prepare today to leave. We're going to sing this song. And I want you to get your palm branches. And I want you to prepare to wave those when we sing Hosanna. And I want you to sing this song out. This song has power. And listen to the words as you sing it out.